to the Light Before Christmas. This is the most perfect Christmas program you will ever attend. The children are ready to amaze you. Grown-ups add their voices to make the Bethlehem story of Jesus' birth come to life like you have never seen. Prepare to sing and become part of the Christmas story. We will tell you when to sing. I have not left one detail undone. After many sleepless nights, nervous days, and prayer, it is time to show you the results of all the effort. Perfection. Yes, that is the goal. Let the story of baby Jesus in a manger begin. Did I mention perfection? We are telling the story of the perfect baby, and nothing less than absolute perfection in our program will do. Enjoy. Lights, camera, action, narrator.
Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Stop! Everyone, calm down. This is just a momentary glitch. I'm certain the lights will return quickly. These things never last a long time. Audience, stay where you are. Children, stay where you are. Musicians, don't move. Wait for it. The lights will be back on. Now. Okay, is someone kidding me? Turn those lights back on. Wait. I should have known. It was too good to be true. All I wanted was a perfect Christmas program. Just once, a perfect Christmas program from beginning to end. Is that too much to ask? Didn't I agree to be the director? Didn't I make all the copies, gather all the costumes, set all the props, rehearse all the kids, didn't I? Now look at us. We are sitting here together in the dark, doing nothing. I can hear you laughing at me. And yes, it does hurt. I know I'm a perfectionist, but I can't help it. I take my church work seriously. After all, I am doing it for God.
I don't think lights are going to come back. Should we cancel this program?
No, so much work. It's a Christmassy program. We can't cancel it.
Well, what do you suggest?
Let me think.
I traveled all this way from my house in this weather to see a Christmas program. If I get a vote, I say, let's have the program. There must be flashlights around. What do you say, audience?
Yeah!
Okay, Hilda, I hear you. No matter what, we will have Christmas. I cannot promise perfection. We will do the best that we can in the dark. There were no electric lights the night Jesus was born. All the light came from God's shining light in the darkness. I think we can pull this off. Flashlights ready? Candles ready? Let the show begin.
Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
made light? Because Jesus is the light. When we ask Jesus to be our light in our life, Kobe. Our hearts start to glow with his love.
Kobe.
One, two, ready, glow, baby Jesus, we do love you. Glow, baby Jesus, we do love you. The manger we were yonder, we voices calling yonder. Glow, baby Jesus, we do love you. Glow, baby Jesus. We do love you.
Let the path be low above and lead us on to the glow, baby Jesus. We do love you. Glow, baby Jesus. We do love you. This dark night could use some brightening. Bring your light as bright as lightning. Glow, baby Jesus, we do love you. Glow, baby Jesus, we do love you. When you glow, you gotta go. Come, baby Jesus, glow.
Space. When the lights are on, we almost lose the flame because it's so little. Look again. The candle shines in the darkness. There will come a moment when our electric light will turn back on, but Jesus' light is the only light shining forever in the darkness. In a little while, there's going to be Mary and Joseph, shepherds and angels, wise men and the innkeeper. They're all going to fill this stable. Listen to their stories. Be amazed that God sent his only son into this very dark world. Before all these people can come, though, to the manger, baby Jesus has to be there. So let's put him in the spot, and he can be the light of our world.
The Bethlehem story is short and sweet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
And that's the truth. That's the whole truth. That's God, that God is the light of our world. Jesus came as a baby to be our Savior, and he is the light of the world.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Jesus came at Christmas time. Let his little light shine. Jesus came at Christmas time. Let his little light shine. Jesus came at Christmas time. Let his little light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Thank you.
bargain for the dark. Who turned the lights out? I quit. I'm not going to stand here on stage in the dark. Wait! Wait! Just a minute! Turn off those lights! That's too much light! Stop! No more lights! Who are you, anyways?
We are kids. Kids from the future.
What a tall tale. I don't believe you. Turn off those silly lights.
We can't. We have to light the stable. It's our job.
Baby Jesus is in the manger. He needs light. Talk to us. Who are you really?
Who am I? I made this whole story happen. Isaiah said, "For a child is born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Little did I know that on that dark night, the Messiah would come to my inn in my little town. It never occurred to me. I was just busy. Too busy to see what God wanted.
We call you the old innkeeper. Maybe you weren't old at all.
We call you the mean innkeeper, but maybe you weren't mean at all. You cared about Mary and Joseph.
No rooms at the inn. I had to say it. There was an animal shed, but...
Your stable is not much to look at.
Kind of dirty. And smelly. Fresh hay is a nice touch.
Mary was going to have that baby in the street if she couldn't rest in the stable. Everybody sit down. For goodness sakes, turn off those lights. Try not to sit on each other. I know it's dark, but I think you can do it. I'm retired now. The animal shed is still there. I got a lot of flack for that night. People still criticize me. They say, "You couldn't give a pregnant woman a room? She had a divine child and you had no room? Couldn't even spare a broom closet for the lady, for the baby Jesus." That hurts. I tell them to check the records. It wasn't just me. Every inn in Bethlehem was full. The city was packed. We had reservations for months. When Joseph said it was an emergency and a baby was about to be born, I said, "I don't care if it's the Son of God. I don't have a room." Little did I know. I said, "Hey, I've got a spare spot out in the shed. You can sleep there if you want." He said, "We'll take it." What could I do? In they go, baby born, put in the manger, animals staring. You do realize a manger is an animal's food box, don't you? I'm convinced the cows are thinking, "Hey, why is there a baby in our food?" To be fair, Joseph and Mary were new at this parent thing. People look at me funny when I say, "Have a Christmas carol called Away in a Hotel Room just doesn't have quite the same ring to it as Away in the Manger." You probably think that was the end of the story, too. The shed had a swinging door the way people kept coming in and out. Shepherds walking right in and pushing the animals around. A few guys showed up saying they were wise. At least they brought baby gifts. Did I benefit from this? Well, I got some mileage out of telling the story about this crazy couple renting my shed and the visitors and all and the baby. But it was mostly for friends around the campfire. Just before I retired, someone tells me of this hippie preacher in Jerusalem who got in trouble with the Romans. And I say, "Hey, I think I know that guy. I think he got born in my shed." And then, well, you know what the Romans did to him. Romans. Then I sold the inn and retired to Joppa. By the time Jesus became really famous, I was out of the game. And then they sold the inn, and they put that church there. Funny, They called it the Church of the Nativity. I like the inn better.
I think he made that up.
Me too.
How's it going? Any progress on the lights?
None. We needed to let the audience go home and try again next year.
We got through Act One. Maybe the lights will come on soon. Let's go a little longer and let the electricians make their magic.
Magic? I doubt it. I'm a wreck. I don't care what anybody says. I am not doing this again next year. This is my worst nightmare.
Oh, give it a break. You're doing great. Let's get this show back up and moving.
Whatever you say. Lights. You're right. Camera. Action. Let the show begin.
Can you see me? Can you hear me? Let's keep the story going. Let's review what has been happening in Bethlehem since Act 1. Be patient. The lights will come on in a few minutes. From Luke 2, there were the shepherds taking care of the sheep on one night near Bethlehem. Quiet and sleepy, all was calm. Suddenly an angel of the Lord showed up, and there was so much light, unlike here and now, that they were terrified. The angel said, "Keep calm and listen up." They tried their best to stop shaking. "Don't be afraid. I have great news. Once everyone hears it, they will jump up and down with joy." At least it sounded like that. "Over in Bethlehem, the Savior has been born. He is the Messiah you have waited for, and you better get over there if you want to have a look at him. I'll give you a hint. He will be a baby wrapped in a simple cloth, and here's the tip-off. He's sleeping in a manger. That's right, an animal food box." They just stood there and watched as bunches of angels came and said to them, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all the people of the earth, because God loves you." Shepherds were not the only visitors greeting Jesus. Mary and Joseph stayed in Bethlehem for a while. We don't know how long it took for their trip. We don't know exactly when they arrived in Bethlehem, but there were wise men who traveled from the east to worship the little king. They followed the skylight. God placed a bright, bright star in the sky. These men, who studied stars for years, knew this was no ordinary star. They went to a great deal of trouble to leave home and travel to a foreign country to seek a king they did not know or understand. God touched their hearts in a very special way. Along the way, they had a unique adventure. Danger, sneakiness, deception from an evil king stood in their path. Nothing could keep them from their final destination. That bright star shined down, and they were determined to discover the secret nearby, and they did.
Let's wrap this up. I just want to go home and forget about this day. How can all the lights go out at the exact moment we need them the most?
Lights are overrated. There were no electric lights when Jesus was born, and somehow he arrived anyway.
Times have changed. This audience deserves light. They need light. I deeply apologize to all of you for not being able to present the perfect Christmas program. I hope you could see your children in the dark.
I'm sure they did.
I hope you could see well enough to sing a few carols.
I'm sure they did.
I hope. Oh, I just feel awful.
Let's wrap this thing up, and then we can have a party.
Okay. Lights. Yeah, right. Camera. Oh, action! Let's finish the light before Christmas. Lights! Lights! We have lights! How did that happen?
Crackers and cheese, I think it was me.
You!
I tripped when the show started. I think I unplugged the whole shebang. I hope I didn't mess anything up.
Oh, no! No problem. Everything has been hunky-dory. Just a Christmas program. You know, kids, costumes, manger, actors, music audience, my frazzled narrator. No big deal.
Great. I just plugged in the big stuff. I'll find a spot for this little stinker someplace. Carry on.
Carry on.
What choice do we have? We will carry on.
Now, I see it in your face. You're just about ready to explode. Just count to, 103. I don't think counting to three will do it this time.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Plug it in, he says. Find a little spot for the stinker, he says.
Am I in some kind of crazy nightmare? Christmas nightmare. Lights, camera, action. Let the show carry on.
And there was light. We waited a long time for the light to come back. It was a silly mistake corrected by a simple electrical plug. Now we enjoy full light. Pay attention, audience. This story is a life changer. God knows the importance of light. The very first words in Scripture are, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was that it was good. There is another light God called good. The light filled the countryside around the little village of Bethlehem. The light peeked in every crack of a humble stable where a young couple huddled with God's newborn baby boy. Theirs had been an amazing adventure, filled with God, angels, shepherds, wise men, and a manger bed, instead of a cradle made by Joseph's loving carpenter hands. Later this light would say, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. All that comes later, but for this moment, just this moment, we enter into the stable prepared by God's creative hands for a very special baby boy.
"'Twas the light before Christmas when all through the stable the creatures were stirring, they were ready and able.
The manger was hill filled, prepared with such care and hope that a baby would soon rest right there.
The people were nestled all snug in their beds. The inn was jam-packed, no place for more heads.
Mary came looking worried, Joseph begging for rest. He'd just found a place for their long winter's nest.
The baby arrived looking calm, looking sweet. The creatures looked on. God's plan was complete. When out on the street there arose such a clatter, Joseph sprang from his bed to see what was the matter.
Away to the barn door he flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The light on the streets was as bright as the sun. It was shining above every person.
The light gave a luster to objects below. It looked like noonday. It looked like bright snow.
What to his wondering eyes did appear, but streets filled with shepherds grinning ear to ear.
They said there were angels and light on their hillside. A baby was born near Bethlehem's village side.
With a old shepherd a little old shepherd, so lively and quiet, quick. Joe knew in a moment God's word was slick.
More rapid than eagles, the visitors came, and Mary remembered each one by their name.
Some men from the east, so wise, so and so giving, came bearing great gifts. It would help with their living.
The light that shone down must have twinkled so bright. The candles and frankincense made a great sight.
As the shepherd and wise men and family turned, the baby cried, "I've arrived! Hey, I've arrived! No concern."
He had a sweet face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and cute and rather sweet, jolly babe, and they laughed when he saw him. Not one was afraid.
The light before Christmas shone in just the right place. The light of the babe brought God's joy to each face.
The day was accomplished for God's only son. The light has arrived, for the future begun.
So let's all explain as we leave here tonight. Happy Christmas to all. Let's follow God's light.
So we see before us the perfect picture of an imperfect night. Well, we think it wasn't perfect. Jesus came into the world filled with darkness. That baby could have been born in a palace or a crazy home or a big gleaming hospital.
Instead, Jesus was born in a humble stable, surrounded by humble people. He was born with a purpose, to be light in the darkness.
He was born to shine, and shine he did. Some people are born to shine, some to reflect the light, and some to blossom from the glow. Yet none are complete without the other. God gave an amazing gift as the crown of his great plan to redeem his lost creation.
When the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law, so we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage.
Set free. That's the key to God's plan. We get to tell this Christmas story every year because our real gift is light. God's light, born in a stable, born to shine.
The best part of God's plan is that I am born to shine. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? You were born to shine.
We're born to shimmer. We're born to shine. We're born to live. We're born to love.
God loved us so much that he gave us his Son. He gifted each of us in unique and important ways. It is our privilege and our adventure to discover our own special light. Our light begins with Jesus.
And our light doesn't shine so others can see us. We shine so that through us, others can see Jesus. Jesus, you are our rock of solitude and peace. You are our light that takes away the darkness. You are our strength when we feel weak. You are our shield that protects us. You are the King of Kings.
The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them.
For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
For God, who said, "Let light shall shine out of the darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Jesus said, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops."
Jesus said, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness."
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you.
Well, it worked out after all. Who needs light? Light is overrated.
I guess so. Even in the dark, you can still see the light. We'll be all right. It's over now. Makes me kind of sad. All that work, all the planning, all the excitement, and worry is done.
Until next year.
Until next year. What adventures will we have in the next 12 months? Will we gather in this very spot again? Will God's light still shine in the world? Will his light still shine in us?
Jesus is not a baby in a manger anymore. What Jesus did for us provided that the light before Christmas was worth every moment that Mary and Joseph relied on God. It was worth the angels and shepherds' joyful shout, "Unto us is born in the city of David on this very night a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus' death on the cross was worth every mile the wise men traveled with gold, frankincense, and myrrh from their far country.
Jesus rising from the grave was worth every mile he walked, every insult hurled at him, every healed person, every child he patted on the head. I learned a lot when the lights went out.
I knew you would.
Just a reminder that if you haven't had your picture taken yet, Anne's got her camera here this morning, and she'll be over in the other room so as we try to update the whole church family. You're not going to get a message this morning that's long. Just a reminder that we've been looking today at the light that came to us. And when you think of how amazing that is, that the Son of God, who existed for all eternity without any limitations in heaven, should have come to earth, brought God's light in a way that was one step beyond what they'd had in Old Testament times. God in flesh. And we who have come to believe in him, to recognize that he came to die, as you just read at the end, have that light in us. But the important thing, I think, for us to recognize is that we are always reflected light, not light in ourselves. The glory belongs to God. And we are like a moon that reflects the sun. We are his vessels that he's placed in strategic positions for his purpose, to reflect his light. And so we don't know what we'll have in this next year, as what kind of adventures will come our way. But in all of them, it's not so crucial that we get the credit, that we'll reflect the light of God and how he is in our world working. So as you remember the very simple but clear message of today, remember that light has come, and you can know the light. And as you walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. and his light shines in the darkness of our increasingly dark world. Well done, each of you who participated this morning, because God uses vessels who are pretty imperfect. He makes us perfect, and he brings his message. I've asked Bob to bring one little appeal on behalf of the elders to you this morning at the end of the service, and I'll come back and lead in prayer.
So we've had a discussion as an elders board about, in a minor sense at least, about what worship is and how we worship. And when we come into this church, we are worshiping when we come in, and we're worshiping when we leave, and we're worshiping as we go about our lives. We also worship by ministering to the youth of this church. And we just saw an amazing ministry of youth, and that ministry of youth we very much want to cultivate. So you, as you go about your lives, and as you see those around you that are involved with this church, think about that ministry and how you can be a part of worship or continue your worship in the ministry of cultivating youth, be that in BG Club or in Children's Sunday School, in the nursery, or even just by being a presence in with these kids as part of a church body. But the larger story is, what is worship? When does it start? When does it stop? Well, I won't go into what it is. Hopefully that's for another time. But when does it start? When does it stop? It doesn't. It's part of our lives. So think about that as you look at these kids. God bless the noise that they make. God bless the disturbances. They missed lines, the crying. God bless Danny sitting there, uncomfortable, fully pregnant, and beautiful. Just absolutely gorgeous. God bless that. God bless our kids. Thank you.
For those of us who are my age and within 20 years either way of it, the times in which we grew up were vastly different than the times in which we live. The knowledge of God and his light was far clearer because of the culture around us. So the reality is this, that if we don't allow ourselves to be the reflection of that light in this community, it's very likely that very few children will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we look at the priorities of us as a church, we need to prioritize the continued ministry to the young side of the families in our community, and to make sure that we participate wherever God has gifted us, even sometimes when we don't think we're gifted, but we could do something. And I urge you to think about that as we look forward to the days to come. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing one Christmas carol, and that will be our dismissal this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for each and every one who participated today, who did their little part to talk about what you did in your big part. And we think of what it means that you did not stay in heaven and distant from us and leave us in our problems, but you sent your Son to take up residence in this world as a human being. God with us, and your light came so we could see it. May we meditate on that and recognize as a wonderful thing that somehow your Spirit has caused us to know what that light is, what it means, and what it produces. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.